So, before I get going, and I just am so thankful for this opportunity, but as a 8-year veteran of the United States Marine Corps, I just want to take a moment to honor the sacrifice of Memorial Day is about those that didn't come home. It's not about us veterans. It's about those that didn't come home. And so I really hope today and especially tomorrow as we celebrate and again, why we serve and why some people died for you, for your freedoms, is so you could have that barbecue tomorrow. So I want to encourage you, honor them. I want to share real quick, I wasn't planning on doing this, but my kid's school puts flags on veterans' graves on Friday. One of our local heroes, he died at 21. And he's buried out at Lakewood. Michael D. Anderson Jr. Some of you might know his name, but he's the reason why we're able to preach God's word in freedom and not be under some dictatorship. And so we thank God for each and every one of their lives. All right. So sorry that was heavy. This is probably as heavy for some of you as surrendering your finances to the Lord. So my question to you, who really owns your money? God, say that's the right answer. So, but with that question, so God owns it, right? So with that, are we the owner or are we the manager? We're managing, exactly. So with that, let me pray. Father God, first and foremost, God, I want to thank those that gave their life for our freedom, Lord, as you gave your life to forgive us of all our sins. God, we are thankful for them. We're thankful for the families and the sacrifice and the brokenness that's brought. God, it is beyond a blessing. So we thank you for them. But God, today as I preach your word, Lord, I just pray that this hard topic for many people, that they can just take something away and say, okay, God, I'm gonna surrender this to you. And so, God, we give you all the glory, and I thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I always like to start out with kind of the why. I've done the money talk a handful of times here, and I just see in our society, both in and out of the church, how much money can be a huge blessing, or it can also be a huge curse. And so, that's my passion. So I lead Financial Peace. That's why I do that. But also the reason is Jesus talks a lot about money. So we might not like talking about money a lot, but Jesus talks a lot about it because he understands the power it can have over us. And so with that, today, the sermon is not about guilt. It's about faith in Jesus and having peace with your finances. And that's ultimately my prayer for you today. So defining surrender, surrender is to yield control or ownership. To yield control or ownership. And so that's in every aspect of our life. But today we're talking very specifically about money. So our key verse today is Matthew 6:24. And so if you want to turn to your Bibles or get your app, it's also going to be on the screen. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." So my first point today is money is a heart issue. And we're going to go right back into Matthew. So now we're going to jump into Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. And Matthew 6:19-21. "Don't store up your treasures here on earth, where the moths eat them and the rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." And again, this really speaks to me because we can. And I've definitely let money and possessions at times distract me from God and God's mission for me. And that's why I'm talking about it with you today. And I'm going to be real throughout this whole sermon of things that God's been working on me and he's still working on me with. So we're going to go right back into Scripture. So connecting the dots here. So we're going to go into Matthew 19, 16 through 22. It's about the rich young ruler. I can say that not too fast here. All right. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Jesus says, why ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which ones? The rich man asks. Jesus replies, you should not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. I've obeyed these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? Jesus told him, Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. So a lot of people think, hey, this is about possessions and finances, and that's true, but I truly believe this is also about obedience and surrender. So I don't think for a moment Jesus is calling all of us to go out and sell all our possessions. But maybe for some in this room, maybe someday he's going to do that. And the question is, are we going to be obedient if that happens? If God says, hey, it's time, purge the house, sell everything, because I have bigger plans for you. Are you going to be in a place to be able to do that? Because at the end of the day, you know, our possessions, our finances, again, that can be a distraction from him. And we want to try to minimize those distractions at the end of the day, because that is ultimately what he wants. All right, so with this, so one of the things that I don't know, it's convicting, and I think it's been set up here several times, but for us to really evaluate where we're at, is you can go through your bank statement, and that's going to show you where a lot of your values lie, okay? And again, this is not to be a condemning, so I'm not condemning people, okay? That's not the point. The point of today for me is just to challenge us is, hey, maybe after this sermon, maybe it is bringing out your bank statement. What does that reflect in how you're living a life for Jesus? Again, that's really hard. And the reason why, again, I'm up here is because I'm working on this too. So this doesn't mean I got it all figured out. I don't. By no means do I. But it is something I'm passionate about, of trying to keep allowing Jesus to work on me to live a better life for him. All right. So my second point, God owns everything. We are stewards. And we are going to go, this is the parable of the talents. And this is a long one. All right. So that's Matthew. If you want to turn to Matthew 25, 14 through 30. All right. It's 14 through 30. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest that money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they used the money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver. You gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount." Sorry, I should have tried my scrolling. It's being a little difficult here. All right. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops and didn't plant, and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gather crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even that little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So that for me is obviously the end there is harsh. But again, the point of this is, We are managers. So, and that's what that illustration is really focusing on, is that we are managing God's money. We are not in control of it. But money is one of those areas we wanna hold tightly. We wanna control it, because for some of us, it feels like that's the one piece in our lives we have control. And for some of us in this room, you feel like, "I don't even have that under control." And if you are in either of those boats, today I hope this message is of encouragement, of just like what they're talking here is that Jesus is saying, hey, sometimes we just got to do the work. And I want to be clear, like, there has been times I want to bury my head in the sand and I don't want to deal with problems, and specifically with finances. And so I get it. And I just want you to know that you do not have to do this alone. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But just think of how the bank teller, right? So when you go into the bank and make a deposit or a withdrawal, it's not their money, right, that they're giving you. They're managing the money. So the bank has hired them to do that. And now you're, making that transaction with them. But at the end of the day, they're just managing that money, either taking in or giving out. So my question to you, and some of the reflection questions once we get to our prayer time, is going to be, how do you manage the resources God has given you? What's your grade? And you don't have to tell me your grade, okay? Unless it's an A+, then I want to call that out. But if it's anything else, please you don't need to share that with me. But again, this is not meant to be condemning. This is just to get us to think more like Jesus, and including our finances in that conversation. So maybe something you're hearing in here is, David, I have no idea where to start. I need help. Well, hey, there's something great, and part of the reason why I'm up here is I am one of a handful of people in this church that have a passion to help people with their finances, because I personally have seen what handling money well can, what that can do for you, and honor Jesus and honor every aspect of your life, but also how it can tear you down. And so just know, if you want to come up to me after the service and, hey, I need some help with this, or you say, hey, I don't want to talk to you, but is there somebody else you could point me to? I am also happy to do that. We have several people that is a passion of theirs, and our church family is here to support you, even through these harder topics. All right. My last point is surrender brings freedom. And we're going to go into 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 10. All right. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish, harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So, again, with this, money, just to be clear, money is a neutral thing, okay? Money is not evil. And I believe that, you know, as a society, and some of this is caused by the news, but as a society, we can put people down for not having enough money because it's all their fault, or we can say, hey, the rich person is a terrible person because they have too much. And I think for us, we just have to pray where we're at. And of course, we can pray for others. But it's, again, how you manage that money. Because I think, I do think, even though Scripture clearly talks about the rich can be very much distracted, and it makes it very difficult for them to go to heaven because they get so distracted by the worldly stuff. But I also think there are rich people that wholeheartedly love Jesus, and that they use the resources God has given them to bless many, many people. And so I think that's what we need to look at. And the same thing with, you know, somebody that's very poor. Like, they may say, and actually, I wasn't going to mention this, but I think two examples. Some of you in this room know the Cindys. The Cindys, they do not have a lot of money. And I'm blessed that they clean my office every week, so I pay them for that. But they do incredible ministry with very little. And so you do not need to be rich to bless people, because, you know, I see every day the poor can say, hey, Jesus is my king, and whatever extra I have, I'm going to help somebody with that. Something else that popped out to me. So I live in Oakdale, okay? If you Google Oakdale storage units, I counted 13 storage unit facilities. Okay. I think it might have, well, it definitely has more per capita than Modesto. And the reason I'm bringing that up is, you know, we just talked about storing up treasures right here on earth. And again, if you have a storage unit, you don't, I'm no judgment. All right. I'm just saying, maybe we need to look at that, because I know, and I will throw myself under the bus, because I know my wife is over here. She's saying, how about our garage? And I fully admit, and I'm working on this, and I've slowly gotten rid of stuff, but being a Marine, I've held on to a lot of my uniforms that I probably will never fit in again. So there are some stuff that I also have to get rid of. So we have shelves of stuff that we never use. And so my challenge to you, if you are one of those that, hey, has a bunch of stuff in your garage or a bunch of stuff in a storage unit, hey, again, it's not a judgment, but maybe it's something like, hey, could some of this stuff that I literally never use, could I bless other people with it? And if we looked at our possessions that way and we're able to say, okay, hey, you know what? It's time. I need to hand this off. It's just a good way to live your life. So, all right. So I just kind of want to bring this full circle of what God has done in me and just share a little bit of my testimony. Some of you know some of the story, but I'm sharing a little extra today. So back in 2006, I was honorably discharged from the Marines. But about 2.5 years before that, I served in Russia, and I got incredibly sick. I mean, to the point, I know I would have been hospitalized here. Well, if anybody here knows anything about Russia, you don't want to be hospitalized in Russia. So fortunately, I had a nurse she's an American nurse on our compound there in St. Petersburg, Russia, that was like, hey, yeah, I'm not sending you to the ER, but I'm going to give you an IV and we're going to monitor you. The problem after that was, exercise is a big deal. And I was able to continue to exercise, but what I had a hard time doing is recovering from that. So this just snowballed as I got out of the Marines. I'm dealing with this health issue, still dealing with it. And I began just trying to deal with the fatigue, but then the fatigue turned to depression because I wasn't getting any answers. And I was searching for answers everywhere. I won't even give you the laundry list of stuff that I tried, either the blood tests, just the different doctors that I went. Let's just say I did some things that were like off the deep end because I was so searching for an answer. And some of you in this room, you might be in that spot right now, and I get you. I understand the frustration that there is. Because at this point, I wasn't asking God to come into the conversation. So even though I grew up in the church, I was trying to rely on doctors and traditional medicine to fix my problems, and they didn't. And we have incredible doctors, so I'm not putting our doctors down because they do incredible things. They are the hands and feet of Jesus. But for me, that just wasn't the answer. I spent, this is bringing it back in. I spent tens of thousands of dollars, on tests, doctors, and I'm sure some in this room can relate to this. I'll call it pity purchases. I would take the credit card and I would go to Target and I would go buy something because that would give me a little bit of endorphins when I slid that card and I got to bring that thing home, whatever that thing was. And so just over time, it was just chipping at me. So now I have health issues, I have depression, and I have a bunch of debt. And it was just sinking me in a deeper and deeper hole. But here's where God showed up. So in, I think it was about December 2009, Sandy Sutton from Modesto Covenant Church introduced me to Scott. And he said, hey, I got this guy Scott that he's planning a church, and I just want to invite you to coffee with him, and I'll take you out so the three of us can have coffee, and then you can ask your questions and all those things. So I did. Because I'm one, if somebody tells me I need to talk to someone, generally I'm in. And so we had conversations, and then starting in February 2010, God brought me to Covenant Grove when we were over at Enox High School. And I reflected on that, and I don't believe for a second God caused my sickness, but God does allow sickness sometimes or other things to draw you near him. Because I was searching everywhere else, and honestly, it's when I began to start worshiping the Lord, both in my finances, but just singing, that I had a different level of energy that I never had had since my sickness. And that's the power of Jesus. And I just, so for that, I do say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be sick. Thank you for allowing me to deal with those hard times, to realize at my rock bottom point, both in my finances and in my life, that he was there. He was showing up, and he invited me to something bigger. So here's a piece of the money that I haven't shared, because, you know, when we get money, it's like people don't, we don't like to share this, but I want to be authentic with you today. And so I started tithing right away. In this, again, February, I said, hey, this is my home church. These are my people. I want to support this ministry. And so I just did that faithfully, even though I didn't have a whole lot of money because I had all this debt. But here's where God showed up. In May of 2010, all of a sudden I opened my bank account, and I had $22,000 in my bank account. And so I questioned, so going back, you're like, well, where did that come from? I applied for veteran disability, because I just kind of hit rock bottom, and I'm like, the VA doctors weren't able to figure out what was going on with me, and that was my back pay. And so I honored God in that. I tithed off of that. Actually, I was able to, this isn't a bragging thing, but well, it kind of is. I got to buy the first headset. So we were trying to upgrade to going from the mic to an actual headset. So we had a wireless headset that you didn't have to hold the mic. And because I asked Scott, I'm like, well, what do you need? God has been so good to me in this, that what does the church need? What will help facilitate more ministry? And he allowed me to purchase that. And that was an incredible blessing for me just to be a part of that. So some of you, this story can resonate, and I love to hear your story if you want to share that with me. But I do want to say, hey, no, God doesn't always drop $22,000 in your bank account, okay? It's not a transactional like, hey, God, I'm going to try to outgive you and then see if, you know. But I do believe God blesses us in incredible ways. Sometimes that's monetarily, but sometimes that's just having a deeper relationship with him, because you're saying, I trust you, Lord. So kind of wrapping things up, three points today. Money is a heart issue. God owns it all. Surrender leads to freedom. Jesus gave everything for you. He wants you fully devoted to him and doesn't want the world to distract you from that. So my question to you as we go into a time of prayer is, what might Jesus be asking you to surrender today? For some of you, it's not money. Maybe you are in a good place with money. For some of you, it may be something else. But I think part of our relationship with Jesus and part of allowing him to speak into our life is allowing him to say, hey, David, you need to surrender this thing to me. You need to give this up. So that's my challenge. So I want to take this time. We're going to take about a minute. I just want you to bow your heads. And I just want to give you about a minute. What is that thing that you need to surrender to Jesus? So let's bow our heads. Father God, God, we are just so, so thankful for you. And God, we do pray. I pray over everyone in this room, everyone that's online, that God, that we can talk to you, that we can have raw conversations with you about areas in our life that we need to surrender to you. So God, whether that's our finances or another part of our life, God, we trust that you know best. We pray for wisdom and discernment and figuring out what those things are. God, we also pray for people to come alongside of us. Maybe we don't have those tools, but God, we pray for people to come into our lives, to speak into these areas, to be able to be raw and share those challenges that we're dealing with and those things we haven't quite wanted to surrender yet. So God, we know you know best. We know how much you love us. And so God, we just pray that we can seek you in every single thing we do. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.